Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Will Pelagic here with you, taking you through the next 3 hours as Sunday turns into Monday. 1 hour from now, it will be the same day that the Atlanta Falcons open training camp. About 45 minutes to our north and east in Flowery Branch. We are very excited about that on your home of the Falcons, 92.9 The Game. We're going to get you all ready for that. The five keys that I have for a Falcon playoff run come to you an hour from now. But if you were watching sports today in the city of Atlanta, you had to have a smile on your face. It was a very hype day in the A. And you had two teams here playing two teams from our nation's capital. I think the Braves today felt like they had something to prove. I think Atlanta United today felt like they had something to prove. Both hotly contested races in their respective tables, with United and United separated by 1 point in the Eastern Conference standings. And, of course, the Atlanta Braves needing a win to at least keep the Nationals 6.5 back, the same margin with which we started this series going into Thursday night. And there was a lot of nervous nature around both of those games. Really about as much nervous nature as you could say, than any game that you could think about in the month of July. Both of these games, in my opinion, had a postseason feel. Probably more the soccer match than the baseball game. But you could feel the tension at SunTrust Park come through the TV, or if you were there and on your way home, I'm sure you felt it while you were sitting in front watching Kevin Gausman just deal. But in my mind, today was about as good a day as you could have in the city of Atlanta. We'll go in chronological order because United victorious over DC 2-0, and I was very impressed by the tactical moves of Frank DeBoer. I think he gets a lot of undue criticism as a result of some of the things that happen. And again, I think he doesn't always input some of the right guys, but he made all the right moves today, including having PT come off the bench. You know Vasquez, I know that people were really kind of looking at that and saying, huh? It had some ingenuity in it. But the problem is Vasquez was not able to do the job playing on the flank of Joseph that I think that we expected out of him. And as a result, Frank DeBoer punts on the idea in the 60th minute and says, okay, PT, go out and play. And what happens? We get the moment of moments from PT Martinez on what will be called Redemption Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Because not only do we get that, but Joseph. And again, I know you can't get on him too much because it's only the second time he's missed a penalty in his Atlanta United career. But I'm looking at that penalty and I'm saying, man, that was doomed from the get-go. And is there a better player in all of MLS at earning penalties than Joseph Martinez? Seriously. It just seems like anytime he is around the 18-yard box, there's a possibility he's taking a kick from the penalty spot. It just is. And he earned one again. But he gets redemption on his own right foot with the advantageous first touch, the chip over the goalkeeper, and the exclamation point on a 2-0 victory for Atlanta United over DC United. They were not able to take first place, or at least take a share of first place, with the Philadelphia Union winning earlier today against Chicago. But now you at least give Atlanta some semblance of confidence a one-point advantage on D.C., now in second place in the Eastern Conference table. And if you thought there was hype about this match, then boy, oh boy, do I have something in store for you on our air Friday on 92.9 The Game. Because Atlanta United will make its first ever visit to LAFC and the Bank of California Stadium. And I'm like licking my chops waiting for this to happen. That is appointment TV and radio if you are looking forward to it. You know, watch the game on ESPN. Turn the audio down. Listen to Mike and Jason, because that is going to be, I believe, epic. Two of probably the most offensively proficient teams in all of American soccer together on the same field in what should be a match that could be a potential MLS Cup preview. We'll give, obviously, a lot more focus into that as the week goes on here on 92.9 The Game, but this is something that Atlanta United needed. They needed a formidable performance against an informed side. You can obviously give DC United a little bit of a, again, because of the fact that they played with such a quick turnaround against Cincinnati on Thursday, the fact that they didn't have Rooney, although I think that they're still pretty formidable without him. And as a result, they get the victory 2-0. You saw better defense. You saw better opportunities with them getting forward. DC United played a real pack it in style, and we'll get into more of the X's and O's and what happened on the pitch today at Mercedes-Benz coming up in about 32 minutes' time when we get deeper into Atlanta United's victory over DC. The Braves, who win over the Washington Nationals tonight by a score of 7-1, and you know, I've been working on the thesis and the premonition that the Braves need to go get a starter and a reliever in order to compete in October. But if this is the version of Kevin Gausman they get, maybe they don't need a starter. He was every bit the part today, going 7 innings. He had no runs allowed on his lonesome. An inherited runner scored. That was allowed by Anthony Swarzak. The one was charged to Gausman, but he was every bit as brilliant as you could have expected from him, striking out 8 over those 7-plus. For his third win of the year, Braves get homers from Josh Donaldson and Ronald Acuna Jr. Donaldson is 23rd, Acuna his 24th, and Acuna had a very interesting trip around the base paths as well, scoring one of his two runs as the Braves get 3 hits from Freddie Freeman and again will maintain going into next week a 6.5 game lead in the NL East standings. There was a lot of panic from Braves fans this week. And again, a lot of this comes from the eagerness and the fact that you did play and come off of playing a pretty lean part of your schedule. This is going to get a lot more difficult. We're going to learn a lot more about the Braves over the next week and a half. Not necessarily against the two games that they play against the Royals this week, but 3 more against Philadelphia and 3 more against Washington before we hit the trade deadline on July 31st, I'm interested to see the mettle of this team. Because people were getting all bent out of shape about, oh, well, you know, these guys are slumping after the All-Star break. And this is really, honestly, a harbinger of the fact that the All-Star break came at the exact wrong time for the Atlanta Braves because they were getting hot when the break hit. And as a result, now you look at them and you say, okay, how do you get yourself back into a rhythm and turn yourself back into the team that you were over the first 2.5 months of the season, 3.5 months of the season? And I personally think they are maybe on a tier by their lonesome behind the Dodgers as at least the second-best team in the National League. What do you need to get to that next point? The three big usual additions that take place for a team that's a playoff contender are off-the-bench bat, starter that you can be a postseason long man, and also a closer. People are going to jockey for the closer as much as possible. Believe me, listening to people who call our radio station and who say things on social media And if you want to call a radio station, feel free to do so, 404-741-0929. Also, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is there for you as well. But everybody who wants a closer, I'm telling you, unless you have Aroldis Chapman walking through the doors of the clubhouse in Smyrna, I don't necessarily want you to give up part of your future to get a closer. Because in my mind, the guy who walks in the door that you usually are going to get from the teams that are battling about these types of closers is no more consistent than Luke Jackson. It's just the Lord's honest truth. Relief pitchers are fickle. Relief pitchers are inconsistent. If relief pitchers were consistent, guess what they would be? They would not be relief pitchers. They'd be starters. For every Mariano Rivera, who went into the Hall of Fame today, and we'll talk about that coming up later, for every Mariano Rivera, there's about five Mitch Williamses. And we're talking about the Mitch Williams that gave up the home run to Joe Carter, not the Mitch Williams that was Wild Thing throughout most of the 90s. For every Lee Smith, who garnered 478 saves during his big league career and also went into Cooperstown today, there's also an Armando Benitez. And I look at so many of these people who come across and want to be, you know, big on the closer deal. If you are going to give up big prospects for a run of the postseason, only do it on a starter, either of frontline nature or not, and that gets you through October and maybe into next year as well. Somebody who can sign long-term, somebody who has time left under team control, somebody who you think can also be an immediate impact guy that you have for longer than 2 months. Because if you're telling me you're selling me on a closer, look at what your colleagues in the National League East did when they tried to trade for a closer who they thought was quote-unquote elite, who had 66 saves over the past two seasons. And the New York Mets are wondering what the heck they got back from the Seattle Mariners for Edwin Diaz, giving up two of their highly placed prospects for Diaz, who's been the equivalent of a gasoline on a fire for them this year, and an over-the-hill second baseman who can't hit in Robinson Cano. Is that what you want? Don't make the same mistake the Mets did. If you want to go out and get something for the future, get a frontline starter. We'll ask Joe Patrick what he thinks, our Braves reporter. He'll join us next with a live report, not only after the Braves game, but he was also at the Benz today, and we'll ask him about the United victory over D.C. I keep saying United in solo. I have to remember that United played United. The Five Stripes victorious over D.C. We'll talk about that and the Braves victory with Joe when he rejoins me next. Will Pelagic here with you. We're rolling on a Sunday night and a Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Back inside the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home for the Atlanta United. Atlanta United beating DC United 2-0. Next matchup for the United at LAFC Friday. Pregame 9:30, kickoff 10 p.m. on Friday night. We'll talk about that as well as the Braves with our Braves insider Joe Patrick, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So I'll go in reverse order, Joe, because it's fresh in our minds. The Braves victorious over the Nationals by a score of 7-1. They maintain the 6.5-game lead over Washington that they had at the start of play Thursday going into this series. What did we learn in this series between Washington and Atlanta?
Well, I think most of all, you're just really happy with the way this series turned out because you're not losing any ground to the team that's been the hottest team in baseball over the last 6 weeks. I mean, you know, as hot as the Braves have been, the Nationals have been right there with them. And I think you're always happy to just, you know, to have no blood after a series like this, especially one in which you lose the games in which Dallas Keuchel and Mike Soroka started. You can argue those are the Braves' two best pitchers right now. And they, you know, they lost both those games, but they were able to come out, you know, having a guy like Kevin Gausman come out, really looked rejuvenated, looked like a new guy out there tonight. was really such a huge, got to be such a huge boost for this team, not just to see him get back, but the way to just wrap up the series in the emphatic fashion that they did. I think that's really going to help give this team a lot of momentum as they go forward, because they're going to see the Nationals again very soon. They've got the Phillies coming up and then the Nationals once again right before the trade deadline. So very important time right now for the Braves.
Joe, how did you feel Washington was as a legitimate threat to the division going into this series and now after this series is concluded?
I still think they are a threat. I mean, you know, it's easy to say that they're not after, you know, now that you have a 6.5 game lead, you've just gotten through a 4-game set with them. And that obviously helps, don't get me wrong, but I think that, you know, you just look up and down their lineup, they remind me a lot of the Braves. You know, they're a lineup that has a lot of talent from top to bottom. They're athletic, they're dynamic. You know, they're not just guys who are specialized players at, you know, doing certain things. They're a lot like the Braves in that they have just like athletes and these young dynamic talents that can, you know, do things all over the baseball field. You look at a guy like Trey Turner, and he pretty much won the game for them with his glove on what was that Saturday night against Mike Soroka. You know, he jumped up and leapt up and grabbed a line drive that would have driven in a couple runs and really changed the tenor of the game, I thought, at that point. So they have lots of those guys. Obviously, we all know about Juan Soto. They've got so many guys who can really, you know, turn a game. I see them a lot like the Braves, and I think you have to say that the Nationals have a better, you know, frontline starting rotation than the Braves do right now. You know, when you've got guys like Strasburg, you know, these types of elite arm talents are something the Braves don't really have right now. So I think they're definitely a team you wouldn't want to run into in the playoffs, but, I mean, obviously the edge for the National League East is the Braves. You know, when you get you'll always take the 6.5 game lead if it's offered to you.
92.9 The Game, Braves reporter Joe Patrick joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the WadeFord.com hotline. I don't want to go so far as to say that tonight's performance from Kevin Gausman was unfounded, but I would go at least to say pretty unexpected to see him look as in form as he did in his first start back. How would you assess just how surprising it was to see him pitch as well as he did?
Yeah, no, it was surprising to me, but I think what was mostly surprising was the manner in which he did it, because if anybody who's listening has a subscription to The Athletic, Dave O'Brien wrote a great article about, you know, Kevin Gausman, kind of what he's been through and kind of what you could expect coming into this game. And he talked a lot about kind of rejuvenating his arsenal of pitches. And while he was out working on it on a curveball that he's thrown in the past with some success, but just trying to do something to change up his repertoire to the point where, you know, batters can't really, you know, understand the sequencing as much. And he could actually have some difference in the velocity of his pitches, because really he's a two-pitch pitcher. He's a guy who throws a fastball and a splitter. And the fastball might be 96, 97, and the splitter might be in the low 90s. But in general, you're not looking at that big a difference. He doesn't really have a go-to off-speed pitch. And so the article is kind of about, you know, him developing some of that. And we didn't really see that tonight. I think that's what a lot of people were expecting, anybody who read that article. And really, he just came out and dominated with his fastball. He had a lot of command control of it. It was really good. It was lively. And so I think that, you know, that is actually a little bit more it's impressive. And it's also, I think I think it'll have Braves fans excited, because if he can have that much success with his fastball, it really sets up a lot of his other things in his arsenal. So I think you have to be really happy with what you've seen out of him. And I also finally feel like he's now finally healthy. And, you know, he said he felt well before he was put on the injured list. But, you know, players, you know, they don't want timeout. They'll always say they're healthy. And, you know, in this article from Dave O'Brien, he talks about, you know, this plantar fasciitis, and that he could have gotten it from walking around on hardwood floors in his house, getting up in the middle of the night to take care of his baby. So just kind of some interesting, it's nice to see him finally healthy again. And I think that we're finally seeing what he can do. And it's almost like having a new signing.
Exactly. And that kind of brings me to my next point, Joe, because I have been working on the thesis that starter, despite the fact that everybody wants to bellyache about the bullpen, I've been working on the thesis that starter is the more important need for Atlanta in the trade deadline, basically fishing, if you will, when you come 10 days from now. Does Gausman's performance and possibly over the course of the next couple of days, we'll see him throw again at least once more before the deadline. Does that performance and does that confidence in him alleviate the need for another starter, or would you still think that the Braves want to go out and at least maybe get one more guy who might have some proven either postseason experience or more of a track record?
Well, that's just it, Will. It's that kind of – it's that track record. It's that postseason experience, which is really what this team is missing right now among its rotation. And, you know, what you saw from Kevin Gausman, don't get me wrong, what you saw was obviously really exciting. And I think the tough situation that Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves GM, is in right now is that he's just so crunched for time. You know, he's got a guy like Kevin Gausman who's coming back and showing signs, and possibly he could be, you know, a solution to the holes that the team currently has in its rotation. You also have a guy like Mike Fultonevich, who was an all-star last year, who, you know, I think the Braves still hope that he can, you know, be involved with this team, especially if there's a playoff run, you know, that he can be involved in that, whether it's as a starter, as a reliever. I think preferably they would like it as a starter. They would like to see him get back to his all-star self again. But again, the trade deadline will break for no one. You know, it's coming up in, what, a matter of 10 days, I think, something like that now. So, I mean, they just don't really have that much more time to evaluate, and that they're going to need to pull the trigger on what they're going to do, and whether that's trading for a guy like Madison Bumgarner, who, again, we talk about that playoff experience. Obviously, he has that in spades. Or do they decide to maybe roll with what they have with Gausman? I'm with you that they've always needed help with their starting rotation over a bullpen. I just think it's like, I think prioritizing the bullpen over the starting rotation is kind of like putting the cart before the horse, you know?
Right.
Like it's just more important to have guys that can get you to the closer than to get a closer and not have him be able to affect the game at all.
And it's one thing, too, to also have a closer out there on the market like Aroldis Chapman a couple of years ago with the Cubs. You know, that made sense. I don't see the closer out there on the market that makes sense to give up any part of the Braves' future.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not saying that they don't need a bullpen arm. Like, I would like to see them acquire that, but I just think that if you're prioritizing when you're going through the list of what you need most urgently, it's that help in the rotation. It's those pitchers that can take you from being a huge underdog against a team like the Dodgers to maybe making you a favorite or making you at least even odds. I think that when you're looking at, you know, when you go out and make a trade for this team and try to add to this club, and when you do that, you're going to be giving away valued prospects who could help you years down the line. If you're giving away those prospects, you need someone who makes a tangible difference to your season. And by doing that, you know, you need someone who elevates your team from that underdog status to, you know, on a level playing field with some of the best teams in baseball. So, I mean, I think that that's really the challenge that Alex Anthopoulos faces right now. And it'll be very fascinating to see what they do. I know they're curious in these guys in these starting pitchers like Madison Bumgarner. It's just it'll depend on if and when they decide to pull the trigger on something like that.
Braves fans wanting an elite closer is like me wanting Kate Upton to call me back. Yeah, you can get it, but it probably might not happen. Just saying.
Everybody wants bullpen help.
Exactly, and everybody wants a call back from Kate Upton. I do want to ask you about the five stripes because you were there today. Was this the biggest win of the season for Atlanta, and did this look like at least the most complete team that we've seen from them, most complete effort we've seen from them in quite a while?
Yeah, you know, I think it does. It feels like a turning point with this team right now, and I know it's early to say that, but, you know, they look so poor coming out of, you know, they had this long break in their season throughout the month of June, almost throughout the entire month of June. And they really just came out of it looking kind of sluggish, looking incohesive. You know, they just didn't look like the same team that had left. And now Frank DeBoer has implemented a formation change where he's gone to a 3-5-2. Of course, he played mainly a 4-3-3 most of the season, although he did start the season in a back three. He's made this formation change, and it just seems like it suits a lot of the players' individual talent so much better. A lot of these players just look so much freer in the system, and also it just fits their style of play a little bit better. So I really like the way this team is heading. They have a very difficult stretch coming up. They've got LAFC, then the LA Galaxy, two of the top teams in the Western Conference coming up. But, you know, this win against DC United, this was huge. I mean, they're a direct competitor for them in the Eastern Conference, and now Atlanta United is up into second place. They've got, I think, the best goal differential in the Eastern Conference right now, or maybe second best. I mean, they're looking good. They're looking like they're finally on an upward trajectory. And maybe even if you don't get the results in these next couple games because they are against difficult teams, at least this looks like an Atlanta United team that is more free-flowing and will score goals and just is more fun to watch than a lot of what we've seen so far this season.
You'll find his soccer analysis at Dirty South Soccer. You can find his Braves analysis not only on 99thegame.com, but here on Sports Radio 99 The Game, our Braves reporter Joe Patrick. A full day for you, my friend, but thank you so much for making us a part of it. Thank you.
Hey. Time.
That is Joe Patrick joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. When we return on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, I will get deeper into Atlanta United's victory over DC United, what I liked, what I didn't like, and why I think Frank DeBoer doesn't get enough credit when it comes to the tactician that he is with this five-stripe side. Because to me, it seems like not a lot of people make a lot of the praise available to him when he does good. It's all usually coming when it's bad. Will Polonchuk here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 404-741-0929. Come back with us on The Game and also 92.9thegame.com and the radio.com.
He's phenomenal for us. I don't think there was anyone in the stadium that would have thought he would have missed it. But he's human. He's human. He's so important for us as a team. I'm happy that we were able to still find a way to get the result regardless of what happened on the penalty.
That's the captain and keeper, Brad Guzan, as the Atlanta United 2-0 victory over DC United. Friday, they take on LAFC, 9:30 pre, 10 o'clock kick on Friday with Mike and Jason right here on your home of Atlanta United, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Couple of takeaways from this contest that we saw earlier today at the Benz. And I said this earlier when we were talking with Joe Patrick, the tactical moves by Frank DeBoer cannot be overlooked in this contest. I mean, I really think you have to give him a lot of credit because, you know, it took a lot of what I would call not necessarily intestinal fortitude, but it took a lot of brass tacks, if you will, to have PT Martinez start the game on the bench, to have Barco available, but not want to upset the apple cart when it comes to the back line that they tried to have with Escobar, LGP, Robinson, and Gressel, too, with him basically coming on the wing. I found it interesting, too, the way that they displayed it on the TV was different than the way that they displayed it on the Atlanta United official alignment there. Basically, it's an abbreviated or at least a hybrid 3-5-2, basically, because they had Gressel moving up on the wing to kind of have him take the place of, you know, Rometty and Nagbe on the right side there, along with Merrill on the left. And then, of course, Emerson Hyndman there in the middle with Rometty and Nagbe. And they wanted Vasquez to play up more by where Joseph was, just so you could give possibly some relief for Joseph so that he's not going one-on-two and one-on-three every time. But the problem is, I feel like Vasquez let Joseph get too far field, and as a result, looking almost a little bit different than the way that they had drawn that up. And that's where I thought, while Atlanta was probably getting a lot more far forward than they were, say, in the games that they played against Seattle and the New York Red Bulls, you still were not getting the kinds of chances that you wanted with Joseph and Vasquez. And that's why Frank DeBoer, at least at the 60-minute mark, finally said, okay, we're punting on the Vasquez idea, and we're going to PT Martinez. And yeah, you have to feel very, very happy for PT Martinez. And maybe this is the moment that kind of gets all of the negative energy. There's been a lot of negative energy surrounding him. And again, a lot of it's warranted. But people don't realize why he was brought here to Atlanta. He was brought here to Atlanta to have moments like he did today. Of course, Frank DeBoer, the man who I talked about, when it comes to being the brilliant tactician today, spoke after the match about how big this victory was for Atlanta United for all concerned.
No, I think, you know, when they play that deep, you know, you want to try. It's very difficult, you know, and compact to play through the middle. So you have to try to get the one against one on the flanks, and then hopefully, you know, with one individual action or, you know, runs behind or, you know, or just runs and making space for other players. And yeah, this is what you want to see. For example, the penalty, you know, was a great run of Emerson Heinemann, and you know, he makes a distraction and Joseph takes with his chest, and we get a penalty awarded. So yeah, this is what I want to see, you know, the how many times also Franco came from outside inside to make that run, and Eric took over his position, and yeah, then something happens, and I was really pleased again with the performance, how we executed, you know, this game.
The head man, Frank DeBoer, after the 2-0 victory by Atlanta over D.C. And the other part of this, too, that you get with PT is PT, when he is basically playing up where they wanted Vasquez to play, he will draw attention away from Joseph Martinez. And I think, too, because of the fact that there's at least more of a threat from PT, that gives you more space for guys like Miramon Gressel. There was a point in time in the game where I feel like Gressel went almost 60 minutes of game time without a touch of any significance. He had a couple of amazing crosses in the first half, and he didn't have another touch until like the 68th minute. The funny thing is, though, that Gressel was a big part of the way that this new kind of planned offense went, and he had this to say following the contest: Atlanta's 2-0 victory over D.C.
He can be just as big as Miggy was, you know, I think, and be a big star. So, yeah, like I said, he's just going to have to keep working and, you know, working within the team, getting adjusted to things. And then I'm sure we'll see what he can really do, or if everybody can really see what he can really do.
You know, it's funny. I don't really think that they let it bother them, the kind of, I don't want to say animosity, but the feelings around PT that were there. I mean, you have to think about the chronicle of events here. He has the poor effort against Red Bulls, the comments about, or the rumors about a potential transfer. He scores the goal against St. Louis, yay, 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 in the Open Cup. And then there's the Argentine interview, him having a kind of awkward come to Jesus moment with Boca and DeBoer and everybody basically having the meeting of the minds, saying that, oh, it was a misunderstanding. You have what happened against Seattle, him benched against Houston. And now it's like, man, can you remember somebody who had more drama connected to them than PT Martinez over the last couple of weeks? I mean, my goodness, it just seemed like there was so much attached to him that was just, it was not good. But he ends up getting redemption. He gets the header goal, and Atlanta is victorious. And also, you know, Guzan said it, the Joseph penalty miss, thankfully that becomes a footnote instead of a big glaring thing, because let's just say, for example, Atlanta United doesn't get another chance and loses that contest possibly, or even draws. We're talking about that penalty contest miss all evening, and wondering, man, what would it have been if he had hit that penalty, and that's a much different situation. But the only downside, I would say, was that Vasquez had a game to forget. A guy who, in Joseph Martinez's absence, that really showed out well. He showed well out also in the Open Cup games, the Open Cup preliminary rounds, and this was a setback for him. And I think he got a bit of a rude awakening as to what exactly was expected of him. He did not take the most advantage of his shot. I think you have to put PT Martinez in the starting 11 if you want to have any modicum and semblance of success against LAFC, because you know this LAFC team is going to want to get forward. This could be one of those, you know, Katie bar the door type huge scoring games when it comes to that. And Guzan talked about this, of course, when it comes to this upcoming week, because this is one that they'll have circled on the calendar all week if you're Atlanta United.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be an exciting game. They're a good team. Obviously, they're coming off of the the game against the Galaxy. So it's going to be, I'm sure you guys on the outside of the locker rooms will hype it up as much as you can. And us as players know that it's a big game, but it's not the end-all be-all. It's a chance for us to continue to pick up points and keep this short run of games going in a positive direction.
He had a couple of big saves, too. That's one thing you have to think about as well from him. He bailed out a couple of really weird chances. There was the one where I think it was LGP got turned around. They got caught ball watching, and then there was a 1v1 attempt against Kazan, and he had to make a very big save. That was very, very key. He made another big save also off a cross that got pounded away. So, his value to this team can't be understated, and I know that a lot of times we take it for granted watching him, but there's a reason this guy was the national team goalkeeper for the longest time, okay? So for that perspective, you have to be happy that he is your man, and that's why he's captain as well. I tell you what, that is appointment viewing Friday night, appointment listening, and again, you'll hear it on 99 The Game, 9:30, pregame, 10 o'clock kick from Bank of California Stadium. We'll come back. I got a little bit of a kicker for you. This one's going to tickle your funny bone a little bit as we come back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.